Last week we started our little series looking at I Am the Bread of Life. And this morning we're looking at the second I Am that comes chronologically in John's Gospel. I am the light of the world. When I lived at home with my parents at around the age of 16, 17, I was woken one morning by this bright light shining through my bedroom window. It was as if, it was as if night was suddenly day. As I looked out the window, all I could see was the whole of our garden lit up by this light. And I was beginning to think, what on earth is going on? I couldn't hear anything other than this light shining into my bedroom. And I was like, I don't know what to do. And I'm looking outside. And no one of a lie, I don't believe in aliens, right? But there was a moment that popped into my head where I began to think, maybe I've got this wrong. Because this light, it wasn't just shining on our back garden. It kept shining into my bedroom. And it was like, I was like, I'm going to be taken. I'm going to be taken here. And it was going against everything I believed in, because I don't believe in aliens, but I couldn't explain it. And then I suddenly realized this may just be a search and rescue helicopter, because I used to live right near the coast. I don't know why it hadn't come. Let's be honest, it was about 3 a.m, so I had been, you know, I was probably a bit bleary-eyed. But eventually when daytime did come, it was revealed that there was a search and rescue helicopter out that night, and they'd rescued somebody who'd somehow got stranded in the ocean. I used to live on an island. I know I live on an island now because it's in the UK, but I used to live on a little island in Essex called Mersey Island. And you know what it is, David? Yes, you've been there. A well-travelled man. There's one road onto this island. I don't know why I'm telling you this, it's just a bit of history. There's one road onto this island, and during high tide, the road gets covered. And if I ever had to get to my part-time job, when I was doing my A-levels, if the water level had come over a little bit, I'd ring up and say, I'm going to be late. If I was getting to football, I would just drive across the water. And sometimes that was a bit hairy, because it was gets a bit deep sometimes. But there we are. I know I was a bit of an idiot that day that happened, but this light was immense. I mean, it was as if I was being targeted out. And Jesus makes this huge, huge statement about himself. All of these I Am statements are huge in my opinion, but this is really significant. Because just stop for a moment. You have heard these words, I'm guessing, hundreds if not thousands of times. But just again this morning, stop for a minute and acknowledge Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That is huge. It's hard to really grasp the significance of this statement. I am the light of the world. And in order for us to really grasp it, we have to put it into some sort of context. So why did Jesus say this at this time? And this is mind-blowing. If you go back to chapter 7 of John's Gospel, verses 37 to 39, we read that it's actually, this is the happening during the Feast of Tabernacles, a Jewish festival that was involved staying in a tent, eating and sleeping in a tent for a whole week to remember their time in the desert during the Exodus. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, there was two main ceremonies that happened. The first one was called water liberation. And what would happen? The priests would gather big pitchers of water taken from the pool of Siloam, and they would take this, and we have our altar table here. I don't really know where to stand, so I feel like I'm blocking everything here. But they would take their pitchers, they would pour it onto the altar, and the water would just cover the altar and begin to drip over the sides. And it was a ceremony to a way of expressing and saying to God, please, God, would we have the rains to produce an abundant harvest. It was symbolic of that. But it also had a spiritual meaning. It was actually Israel at that time was spiritually destitute. They were living under Roman rule. Even the Holy of Holies was empty and dry. And so this ceremony of pouring this water over the altar was also a cry that God would pour out his spirit upon Israel. And this was happening during the height of the ceremony. Jesus said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. As this symbolic act of pouring the water was happening, Jesus is saying, well, actually, I'm the one who you need to come to receive this living water, to see a harvest in your own lives. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that just give those words of Jesus just even more of an oomph when we understand the context of why he was saying it? But it goes on. Why am I talking about a different verse? I just thought it was amazing, that's all. But the second ceremony was the illumination ceremony. And what this involved was lighting the golden lamps in a courtyard called the Court of Women, it was called. And these lights, or these candles, were 75 feet high. So they were pretty big. I mean, we sometimes have trouble at Christmas, don't we? When you get a small person lighting the candle and they can't actually see the top of it. But we'd all struggle with the 75-foot high candles. And so they would light these candles, and there'd be other candles lit in the temple, candelabras lit up. And it is said that the light from the temple was so bright that it would actually light up the whole city. And this ceremony was a reminder that God had, whilst they had sent his light during the promised land again, it was, you know, when Moses and the Exodus, it was the pillar of fire, it was remembering that. But in the middle of all of this, Jesus then declares to the people, I am the light of the world. See, I'm not just the light that lights up the city or the people of Israel. I am the light of the world. When we understand Jesus is saying this in the context of this festival, this Jewish festival, where this light ceremony was huge, Jesus says, no, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Isn't this incredible? See, Jesus was not just a great teacher or a prophet. He is declaring, I am the same light that led you through the wilderness. I am the Shekinah, which is a Hebrew word meaning the glory of God. I am the glory of God that you are crying out for. The very real presence of God was standing amongst them, declaring, I am the light of the world. He is right there before them. The trouble was they were blind to him. They were misguided. They were actually walking in darkness. It's no coincidence that John, the story that follows after this section, is Jesus healing a blind man. I think there's some symbolic thing of saying, actually, that's what Israel was like. I want us to grasp just the magnitude of this statement. This wasn't Jesus just saying something about himself. In the context of the festival, in the context of Israel's spiritual destitution at that point, Jesus is saying, I'm bigger than all of that. Isn't that amazing? And then in verse 19, he says, well, you do not know me or my Father. He says to the people there. You see, light reveals things, doesn't it? It illuminates the dark corners, the things that were hidden. And John has already told us. John has told us that the light shines in the darkness. John chapter 1, we know it quite well. I used it at Christmas. Light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. That Jesus was the light of all people. I just imagine that the man who was in the ocean all those years ago when I thought aliens had come to my bedroom, that man as he was flapping around in the ocean, that moment the beam of light hit him in the sea. What must that have felt like? That must have felt like, oh, thank goodness, they've found me. I'm going to be safe. I've been rescued. The light would have cut through the darkness of that poor person struggling and suddenly given hope. He was going to live. Paul in the New Testament had a dark past. You could argue he was a bit of a terrorist, really. Well, at least somebody who spread terror. But Jesus met with him, cut through all of the darkness of his past. And changed him. And often, a lot of people who have had perhaps a really dramatic conversion would say it's like their life went from being in darkness to suddenly being in light. Maybe for some of us and others of us, we've sort of more wandered into the light gradually, like a dimmer switch. We've kind of got there, but it's not been quite as on and off like that. And that's okay as well. But there's this real sense that when we come to know Jesus, his light just changes everything. When I was much younger, not 17, I used to be a little bit afraid of the dark. And part of the reason was that I would be looking in my room in the darkness and I'd begin to see things that I thought were something else. And I'd flick the light on and think, oh no, that isn't legs there, that's a pair of trousers or whatever it was. You know, our mind started to play tricks on us in the darkness because things appear differently. But you see, the light changes everything. It reveals stuff. And you see, this light that changed Paul and others and us is still at work today. You can still change us. In fact, all people, the whole world. When I first moved to Godstone, I was very aware of how very dark the Priory cul-de-sac is that the manse is on. No street lights at all. And I'm just so different to being in Purley, where there's loads of light pollution and you look up and all you see is just glaring light, really. And I enjoyed it at first, especially looking up, and I could see the stars when I first moved in. I thought, I've not seen that for a while. And then there was the time I travelled back to the manse and parked, and I realised I parked in the wrong drive because it was so dark. I drove out, I suddenly thought, hang on, the house is meant to be this side and it's this side. Oh, okay, I'm in the wrong drive. I didn't mind, but messed it up. And the darkness is the place where we get it wrong. It's the place where our sin begins to lurk. It's those hidden parts of our lives that we don't really want anyone else to know about, because they're the parts where we know we're messing up. And that is so true for me. And I know it's true for you, not because you've told me, but because that's what humanity is like. And I don't want to live a life where I know the light of the world, but I'm still hiding in the darkness, where there's still corners of my life which are hidden because I'm ashamed of the sin that takes place there. Because when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, it means he can flood our life with the light that's needed to get rid of that stuff, that mess, that sin. You see, the lights in the temple during the Feast of Tabernacle, they eventually would go out. They weren't on permanently. It was the ceremony. Once the ceremony had kind of finished and the dancing and the whole shebang was over, they'd go out. Jesus says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. When Jesus comes into our life, when the light of the world comes into our life, the darkness isn't going to come back. We're not going to be walking in darkness. Now that doesn't mean that we don't sin. Of course it doesn't. But it means that that rescue light, that spotlight, that beam of light is always on us. That hope is always there, that when we are flailing and flapping around in the depth of our sinfulness, the light of the world is on us saying, follow me, come with me. And I'll show you the light of life. I'll show you how to walk in the light of life. Because as we follow him, Jesus shows us how to live. He reveals the way for us to go. He changes our darkness into light. And Jesus makes things clear. He illuminates what needs revealing. We begin to see him more clearly. We begin to see that we have the light of life, a spotlight on our flaws, but also showing us the future. And I want to know the light of the world so much more deeply in my life, and I hope you do as well. The Pharisees, they didn't get it. They challenged him over legal language. How can you testimony be valid? And Jesus says, well, actually, it's the testimony of me and of my Father. And when we know Jesus, we also know the Father. I urge you this morning. The light of the world is just that. For the world. Jesus is for everyone. And I urge you to let Jesus illuminate our lives. And sure, there's going to be things we don't understand. There's going to be loads we might not understand. We might have loads of questions, things that we don't get. But actually, when we begin to walk with Jesus as the light, he begins to reveal those things to us. I have a friend, last story, I have a friend who he'd gone to church a little bit and began to get a bit interested in faith. But he had one question that it was the thing that stopped him from giving his life to Jesus. I said, until I get an answer to that question, I just don't think I can ever give my life to Jesus. And whilst he was telling me this, I said, so what was the question? And he said, well, the thing is, Mark, one day I woke up and I couldn't remember what the question was. And I said, all right. I said, well, what did you do? And he said, well, I tried to remember what the question was, and after about a month, I still couldn't remember what the question was. So he said, well, I've got no reason now not to give my life to Jesus. So he became a Christian, and he'd been a Christian years at this point. He was telling me it, and I said, so did you ever remember the question? He said, to this day, I've never remembered what the question was. But you know what? It's all right to have questions. It's all right to have doubts. It's all right to not know everything. But when we walk with Jesus, we're not going to be in the dark forever. Light of the world. He brings light to our life. He shows us how to live. And he forgives us of our sin. He turns our darkness, our mess, our sinfulness into light. Let's just bow our heads just for a moment. We're going to share communion in just a minute. Those words that Jesus spoke these few thousand years ago at the Feast of Tabernacles, during the illumination ceremony, those words he spoke then, he speaks to us today. And he wants us to know him because he knows us. He knows all of our dark bits. And I don't always do this. I don't think I've done it since I've been at Godston. But this morning, I want to encourage you, those who perhaps have followed Jesus for a long time, to recommit again today, to declare your love for him again today. And maybe there's some here today who just don't know. Well, I urge you to look to Jesus, to ask him to light up your life. And so I'm just going to pause just for a moment. I'm going to stop talking in a minute. And just encourage you in your own prayers and thoughts. To offer to Jesus who you are and to let him change you from darkness to light.